This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. It's been a few weeks. Been waiting to get Kyle Crabbs on Locked On Fins podcast. Talk a little bit about that first game. But, Kyle, before we get started, those special friends of yours put together
another tailgate.
I mean, it was a big boy tailgate. It went forever. I don't know if it was the picture they sent me, but it started at one end, and it looked like it went for maybe 20 to 30 feet full of food, nonstop food out there. And it was like, damn, I should have just taken an hour and gone out there. I was just so mad at myself.
Pop in early next time. I'm pretty sure they're knocking the gates down, I think, when they start opening gates for parking.
I tell you what, you talk about tailgating at a high level. That was beautiful right there. That was like running for 200 yards and throwing for 300 yards. It was beautiful. Hey, Kyle, so let's get into it here. So the start, because now we've kind of had a chance to watch the National Football League. Everybody's through the last game last night with the 49ers taking care of the Jets, but look like a lot of teams, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, or most teams, that this is what happens when you don't play a lot in the preseason at that tempo. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was pretty sloppy all around the league, and that's to be expected when a lot of your competitive periods for your starters and guys that played this weekend were joint practices that are a little bit more controlled environment, and it tests the tackling a little bit more. So, There's a lot of good and bad. I think you can look at some of the things the Dolphins did schematically against Jacksonville and get excited about how they game planned that game to help mitigate some of the issues that maybe a timing-based offense wasn't firing on all cylinders at. And I think there were a couple of big plays they left out on the field just based off the little things. The good news is those things should be very easy to clean up once you get a chance to see them on tape for the first time.
So I got to ask you, let's go to some of the hot topics. And you know, we heard Chris Greer going, you know, you're the only ones worried about the offensive line. So what do you think in week one? How the offensive line overall play?
So I know they didn't run the ball all that well, especially early, until they got in the second half and Jeff Wilson gets some run and they transition to some more gap concepts instead of their zone stuff. But they left their tackles on islands a little bit more than I thought that they would. I think some of that ties back to the game plan, where you sit down and you look at Jacksonville and you're trying to come up with a plan of how to win the game. You say, okay, well, Josh Hines, Allen's one of the best pass rushers in the game, and the guy on the other side of him was the number one overall pick. And, oh, by the way, they added Eric Armstead in for agency. So a lot of those perimeter screens and quick throws that were maybe a little frustrating to watch, I thought they served two purposes. I thought they served as an extension of the run game, and I also thought it forced those pass rushers to slow down and have to retrace their tracks and get back outside. And they did it again and again and again and again and again, so that when they wanted to do the drop back pass, they could leave the tackles on islands, and they actually did a pretty darn good job. I thought two of the best players on offense from individual performance standpoints or Teron Armstead and Austin Jackson. And that's going against really, really good players. So I think some of that's complementary to the game plan that they put together and then the execution of those players. And then I thought Aaron Brewer was really good in the middle as well. I thought the guards were serviceable. And I think that's probably what you'd expect based off expectations if everything clicks. Now, how they're able to kind of jumpstart the run game, especially with the wide zone stuff, I think they'll get a lot more favorable matchups in the weeks to come that aren't against prototype builds on the edge that are really big and physical that you're asking skilled players to block.
Boy, I got to tell you, it's so funny you said that. I was a little frustrated, too, watching like, Mike's going with that quick pass outside and trying to get his back out there. And then with the blockers in front of it, the receivers and some alignment getting out there to help out with it. And that's a great point. That's just to slow that pass rush and help those guys out. And because it did set up for some deep throws, which they actually made a lot of them. So I got to ask you, it's interesting. I thought Tua played really well. Not the best, but I thought he was really, really good. What did you think of his performance?
I thought he was solid. I certainly wouldn't put it up there in the pantheon of best Tua performances. But I thought, other than a couple of throws, he missed a speed out to Tyreek that I thought Tyreek kind of gassed down as he's coming out of the break. So a little bit of ball placement from Tua, a little bit of issue from Tyreek getting out of the break. I thought the deep throw to Tyreek kind of is the one that lingers in everybody's mind. But it looked like they had an assignment switch late based on them Jacksonville crashing their defensive end down. And it just had Alec Ingold kind of recognize a little late that Devin Lloyd, their linebacker, was coming off the second level. And because of that, Devin Lloyd gets a run on Tua, and Tua has to kind of protect himself as he's into the follow-through, and I think it influenced his throw just a little bit. And that was one of those ones that you look at. I mean, that was a 50-plus yard touchdown play that, hey, if we just recognize that Teron's going to take this defensive end that's crashing down into the B-gap and we feel it a little earlier and give Tua a little bit more width in that pocket and pick it up, I think he probably hits that throw.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, so Jalen Phillips, I thought, had a really good game. I didn't know what to expect. They put him out there, so I figured he was close to really being back. But his pass rushing moves, the pressure, and then finally the sack in the fourth quarter, I thought he played a pretty damn good game for a first time back. What did you think of Jalen Phillips overall?
Yeah, he was outstanding. Now, I do think you can kind of see one of the things that makes Jalen really special as a player is his flexibility in the lower half. And I didn't think he necessarily played at the same steep angles that he put on film last year when he was healthy. And that's to be expected. You're coming back off a lower body Achilles injury. But the motor was outstanding. I thought the first step explosiveness was good. There were times I thought he was moving at a totally different speed than everybody else in the defensive front rushing the passer. And for that to be the case with an Achilles injury and to him still have enough speed and bend to turn the corner, I think it's only going to get better, but this was a very promising first 30-something snaps for Jalen.
Can we talk about some guys here on the defensive side? Benito Jones. Yeah. I know he didn't play a lot of snaps. What do you think of Benito Jones?
I was actually surprised he didn't play more. This was the Jacksonville team. They like to run some 12 personnel, and Doug likes his two tight end sets. I was a little surprised we didn't see a little bit more base. But I thought he did the role that you're expected to do as a nose tackle lining up over the center just fine. Part of it, the issue I thought with Benito was some of his snaps were in even fronts where there's a little bit more on your plate as far as responsibility and range and disruptive potential, and that's just not his game. So I think it's one of those things you're going to have to get comfortable probably with the back end. Because I thought the back end looked like their best player didn't practice for the last 2-3 weeks. I thought there were some times where that kind of stood out. Yeah. Does that trickle down to the front and the fronts that you played and get an extra body back there? We'll have to kind of wait and see.
How did Calais Campbell? He had two great plays to start the game, a sack and a tackle for loss. How did Calais play overall?
I thought he played really well. I thought he was one of the better performers, specifically in the entirety of the first half. I thought he played really well, kind of disengaging off of blocks. Does he play high? Yeah, he's the tallest dude on the roster. But it didn't really impact his leverage all that much. And he had more of the one-on-ones. That was one of the takeaways I had, especially in the first half. Jacksonville threw a lot of double teams and two bodies at Zach Sealer. So it kind of fell onto Calais Campbell as the other inside guy when he was in there to make some plays, and he did that. And hopefully that's something that lingers for teams as they're putting together their plans for how to go against Miami, is to say, hey, we can't just sit here and double Zach, otherwise yeah. Calais will make some plays.
You know, had a real quiet game. I don't know how he played. Jordan Brooks, I don't remember, 20 in the linebacker position. Mm-hmm. How was he?
I thought he showed really good range. He had some really good click and close on backs underneath. But I thought Jacksonville really got after the third level of the defense as compared to the second level of the defense. Good sideline to sideline mobility, but I did think there were a couple opportunities for him to maybe kind of process a little faster and put himself in position to make a few more plays. And I think some of that's just him and David Long feeling on how they play with one another and how to overlap and how to make sure if David's going to duck inside and take this gap, I need to anticipate and get over top of it and get outside. Things like that, as they go back and watch through, that's a lot of the little stuff on the other side of the ball that I think they can really build on.
Well, you surprised to see Storm Duck ahead of Ethan Bonner for active?
A little bit. I didn't think the menu was necessarily super big, and I don't think it would have been any bigger for Ethan. I thought it was a good test for Storm. A couple of the reps that he was out there looked like against Gabe Davis, and there was a double move up the sideline. There was a red zone rep where he had a deep out right towards the front pylon. Opportunities for him that I think Miami's probably a little fortunate that Jacksonville didn't test him a little more on those reps where he was out there. But we'll see what happens this week. You know, does Bonner dress this week instead of Storm? Do they flip-flop him?
Yeah.
You got Cam Smith kind of lingering in a couple weeks. What is that going to look like? So I think if anybody's going to make the opportunity of that time to be the next guy, they're probably on borrowed time to make a splash and make an impression.
By the way, how good was that Javon Holland play? When we say game-changing play, that was 100% one of the great game-changing plays that we've seen.
That'll be on the reel at the end of the season. For whatever this season becomes for Miami, when they do the sizzle reel at the end of it and they're hyping everybody up, that play is going to be – you're going to see that play a whole lot more the rest of the way.
Yeah. Man, it was just a great play. So I got to get your take on Tyreek. I thought Tyreek, for obvious reasons, since we've been talking about it all morning here, but Tyreek coming from with the craziest 6 hours of all time, 3 hours before handcuffed and on the ground. It's kind of weird even to talk about. Not you know, getting ready for the game, but that, and then goes out and plays. Had a really good second half.
Yeah.
You surprised? Because I thought there was definitely – he didn't look like himself to start the game. And now I know why, obviously, as we learn more. What'd you think of Tyreek's game?
Yeah, I think you really admire the way that he kind of hung in there, found a way to make plays, make an impact. I think you really admire the way that the whole team kind of rallied around him. And Mike always says adversity is opportunity, right? So for Tyreek, in the ultimate adversity before the game on his way to the game, to be able to kind of process through that, play through that, and then kind of settle in as the game went on, is pretty inspiring. Yeah. For the football element of what you hope that this team can be. And if that embodies that and Tyreek can apply this and use it for good and the rest of the team can do that as well, then you make the best of a pretty bad situation.
Hey, who was the who graded out and was the best player for the Dolphins in that game? We talk about individual plays and the numbers that the two wide receivers and a quarterback put up. Who was it for you?
Yeah, for me it was Jalen Waddle. I thought Waddle had even more opportunities than the targets he got to make a big play. I thought Achane was outstanding. I mentioned the two offensive tackles. Those are probably the guys at the top of my list after today, after the performance.
No, that's good to hear, man. That really is. All right, let's look at the Bills here real quickly. Here we go again, the Josh Allen show. Fresh off four touchdowns, two running and two throwing, and they were down big, and he brings them back. What's the key to the Dolphins getting their third win against Josh Allen team?
Yeah, stopping him, slowing him down.
Is it more about stopping the runner or the guy for throwing it? Because I don't know how good his weapons are. What do you think of his weapons?
So there's an incomplete element with those guys where Kincaid has high expectations, the first-round tight end from 2023, but he had a quiet first week. The receivers on the perimeter have size and physicality. You're going to take some low-percentage throws to those guys. I do think if you're able to contain Josh the runner, it's probably more impactful. But when I look at Buffalo and I look at opportunities that do exist, I think the biggest thing for me is
Taron Johnson, their nickel, is out with a forearm injury that he suffered in week one. He's
huge
a great player.
Loss. Oh, boy.
And then Matt Milano. And then, obviously, their safeties have had some changes this year where it's Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin are the starting safeties. So I look at the core in the middle of the field of their defense, and there's a lot of players that haven't played a lot that are in critical spots there. And I think you have to play a balanced game. You know, if you try and go blow for blow and win 42-38 against this team, we saw that script in week four last year. It didn't go well. Don't do that. So I think the big thing for Miami is slow down Josh the runner and then figure out how to play a little bit more consistently offensively this week against a team that's got some questions in the core.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it is a big game because the last thing you want is the Bills to do it again and win both games on the road and at home. You got to get this one. This is, I know there's a whole bunch of games left, but man, be nice to get this one and having your back pocket and a 2-0 start hitting that West Coast would be really nice. Yeah, for sure. Kyle, thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Good catching up with you.
All right, you too, buddy. Kyle Krabs, Locked On Fins podcast. So good. That kid. He seriously should be working for a team. He breaks it down, and you ought to watch this guy. The way he watches a game, I like to yap while I'm watching. He is all business, Woody. You got to see that show. He is all business out there. Hey, I'll tell you who's all business right now, because it's hurricane season. Chev, I know, man. Loctite has got it rolling. I know that, and you never know when the big storm's coming. With that extra rain and that wind and stuff, there's only one thing you can do during hurricane season, and that is protect your home at its best. And the way you do it, you have those impact windows and doors. Are you waiting another year on the roof, or it's leaky, but you're just hoping maybe you can get by one more year here? And, well, listen, don't do that. Not with all the great programs Loctite has for you right now. Impact windows, doors, and roofing, 100% financing, zero down. Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing, no interest, no payments for a year. Does that work? Impact Windows as low as $3 per month per window installed. Hey, don't wait for the next storm when you got Loctite ready to go for you right now. I know you're thinking, well, should we wait and do it? I know we need to do it. I know we're not protected the best. Well, you need to protect. You need to be an outstanding tackle and protect your home, man, the best you can. And the way to do it is Loctite, and they can do it all for you, man, from start to finish, covering all of South Florida. And not only that, when it comes to roofing material, tile, shingle, metal flat, they also want to let you know they'll take care of all the permits and HOA approval, so you don't have to worry about that. You really just say, hey, let's do it, and it's done. Loctite is off and running. Loctite is licensed and insured contractor, 954-500-LOCK. That's 954-500-5625. They got a great team that answers the phone for you and can get you started and get this thing taken care of. Don't wait for another hurricane to hit us down here or some bad storm. Call Loctite today.
Here's Debo in motion. Jet sweep handoff to Debo. A block and a dive for the goal line. And he's up on the goal line and in. Touchdown! San Francisco, and this one counts. They're not taking it back. Ute behind Bell left. They run Mason off the left side. A cutback run. Touchdown! San Francisco! Lazard is wide right. Play action by Rogers. Here comes Leonard Floyd. Rogers steps up, throws. Battled away by Lenore. Intercepted by Flanagan. Fouls.
Maybe they should just keep Flanagan fouls out there.
I think you just said that. So the last snap, and they'll tick off the final seconds here. 5-4-3 and take it to the gun, and the Niners have the win, Tim. 32-19.
Yeah, you know, we were just bad on first and second down, I think, for a lot of the game. And then, you know, we had a couple drives. We converted third downs. But overall, you know, we I feel like we didn't have any third and 10 pluses tonight. So that's always a good thing. We look in the stat sheet. But we didn't convert those third and mediums. You know, we had a drop. We had a couple penalties. We had a bad throw. So a lot to correct. But overall, I feel, you know, I feel good about our guys. I thought the protection was really good tonight. We just were a little bit off in the run game. Couldn't get Breece going. Couldn't give him enough space. But a lot to build on.
All right. Jets go down to the 49ers. That was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is good for business, man. He is. I'm not huge fan, but he can still throw it. They're going to win a lot of games probably. I didn't think their defense was that good. I was a little surprised. Defense got chewed up pretty good, pretty well. I'm surprised to see that. Somebody would have told me, I didn't even know who Jordan Mason is, but 28 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown. The actually, the third running back on the team, second guy was injured. McCaffrey is out for the game, a little Achilles soreness or something. So they decide not to play him, and this guy comes in and looks like he's a first or second round pick the way he was running. I mean, violent, too. I mean, he was running, man. It was physical. And then Jake Moody kicked six field goals, six of six. They scored on eight straight drives. That is, got to be only one team that did that last week. So 49ers look pretty damn good, even with their McCaffrey out of the game and got after it. You know, Quinnen, is it Quinnen Williams? He really struggled. He got blocked. Usually I don't even notice that stuff, and I was like, wow, is he just, they're showing all these runs up the middle, and I'm like, where is he, man? He doing a nice job of blocking him. And, boy, the 49er pocket, did it look pretty clean? I don't know if we do all clean pockets, but Purdy's pocket was pretty clean. Pretty damn clean after, I guess when you run like that, anything's going to slow you down a little bit because you're getting pounded pretty good on the running game. But, man, that was very impressive. Very impressive. 49ers look like they're in ready to go in pretty good shape. I don't know how much you can read into week one, though, folks, before I decide to bury the Jets, which there's a lot of games left before we go to that. And Jets did do some good things, too, in that game. But, boy, right now there's one team got lost in the AFC East, just one. Even the Patriots won, so the Jets are 0-1. But there is a lot of football left. Hey, speaking of football.
By the way, don't ruin our fun. If we want to bury the Jets, we're going to bury the Jets.
Well, don't bury them. There's 16 left.
That's okay.
They're not going to be a pushover to, like, we got them two and we got them two. Not this year.
Hey, bro, listen, I didn't have New England having a better record than the Jets after week one. That's a weird one.
I did not expect that either.
New England goes into Cincinnati and wins.
That, to me, will...
So, worst performance of week one? I keep asking, like, that has to be the worst performance of week one, right?
Yes.
Cincinnati, they had the biggest spread,
favorites. Apparently, Joe Burrow's bad at the beginning of every season. I saw his record, like, early. It's always bad.
Oh, he's not off to a good start here. They got the issue with their receiver.
One injured and one wants money.
And then the other takeaway, I guess, from week one is that Dallas, like, every year I feel like we do this with Dallas in the beginning of the season. We crowned them Super Bowl contender.
They did look good against the Cleveland team. Everybody thought, oh, they're going to win 11 games. They'll win 12 games. Everybody's saying that, I guess, right? Got to be careful with that one. I wonder what Deshaun Watson's thinking.
Dude, his newest lawsuit is ugly. Boy, is he a mutant.
So what this one, she waited till after to come clean, or she just
I don't know how the timelines on these things work.
Why didn't she jump in on the original group there with the original group?
I don't know. She saw you had a rough week one and she wanted to pile on. No, I don't
have a chance to get some of that guaranteed money.
This one is really bad though, man.
He's terrible.
As a person or a player?
Player.
Oh, I was gonna say both.
He's
equally as bad of a person as he is a player.
It's just amazing that he was so good with Houston running around and keeping plays alive and making throws to what has happened to him.
Well, look what he was doing off to the side, man. He was living another life doing all that
stuff. Yeah, but come on. Shouldn't have anything to do with this football, should
it? Did you see? Like, you got to read the new one. Like this new lawsuit, apparently, like he's waiting in the living room and she's in the bathroom getting ready, and he just decides he's going to strip off all his clothes and go face down on the bed. And he, you know, that's where he goes.
What, he really?
Come over and massage me. Like, the guy's very passionate about his massages. And credit.
I'm guessing it's in his contract that, like, we don't want to hear about that.
But this wasn't a paid massage. This was like, I'm just going to go in here and... But then after the massage, it seems like he continued on and not good.
I got to tell you, that's been a weird story, man. How about his whole situation? He got some teams who were desperate. Cleveland, he didn't put Cleveland on their list. Like, hey, they weren't even on the list. And they go, all right, we know we're not on your final list. $230 million guaranteed, all guaranteed. Will you come? He goes, okay. You know, Cleveland's not a bad place. But, boy, if you don't win, and that team gave up so much.
The funniest thing is that Baker Mayfield has turned out to be better than Deshaun Watson. Right?
Yeah.
And they obviously moved on from Baker. They've blown everything over there, man. They drafted Johnny.
Is right? Is there a chance sometimes it has to do with the system? It's not always a quarterback. Would you agree with that, though?
Yeah, but they've had a bunch of different systems, haven't they?
Like Baker Mayfield has a really good season last year with Tampa Bay, and now he's got four touchdowns in week one.
But everyone's been bad in Cleveland that they've given a shot to.
Exactly. I'm saying, does something maybe have to do with the offense they run? Because they always have a good defense.
But... No, man. I mean, they've had different coaches, though.
Well, this, I mean, by the way, you're still getting, it's a PR nightmare, and you can put up with a PR nightmare if the guy's really good, because you're thinking, don't worry, fans will come around. If he's really good, they'll forgive him.
You think he goes on the commissioner's exempt list with this new story that came out?
No. It's almost
just
like,
just add it to the list.
It's just like, okay, another one. Another one had a bad experience with him, with Deshaun.
I think his lawyer called him. Hey,
another
man,
one? You another told one. Me there were no more.
He's probably, like, he doesn't even care anymore, probably.
Oh, Woody, piling man. Up. Crazy, crazy stuff. By the way, we've got a lot more coming up here. Eric Wood, the Bills radio analyst, and also former longtime center for the Buffalo Bills, is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about the Bills and what they look like compared to last year, where they still had... Looks a lot different, doesn't it? Looks a lot different. They did pull out the win there, 34-28 against Arizona, but we'll talk to him coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll have that for you on this very short week. Man, we're going to have a game here a couple days. Can you imagine that? Thursday night, man. I'd rather get that Thursday night game out of the way while you're hopefully before everybody starts getting banged up and can't play. I think Dolphins are pretty healthy, right, for this game. I can't think of any bad injuries. Somebody could be, you know, banged up, but I think it's a pretty healthy group. I was thinking about that.
Well, it is early.
I mean, it is early.
Yeah.
But short week, got a chance to go 2-0 before going to Seattle. Not bad at all. All right. Hey, I want to talk to you about Mike Okotsie. He's not a coach. He's not a general manager. He is just Mike Okotsie from Choice Mortgage. Oh, he is a special guy. And by the way, I just want to let you know, just talking to him, we spent some time with him and with the market and everything that's going on right now. If you're a first-time home buyer, he's got rates that are great, fixed rates in the fives. He's got some really good programs out there. If you're self-employed and you've been declined by the banks, he can help you as well. That's what kind of things he does. And I want to let you know, the reverse mortgage is one of the most popular mortgages we have here in South Florida with a lot of people in their 60s and 70s. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. What the reverse mortgage will allow you to do is get all that equity out of your home and have a place to live. And he can do it. He can get a lot of that money out you could really use, whether you're still working or you just stopped working and could use some extra money. Reverse mortgage has been a good one for a lot of people here in South Florida that need the money. So I just want to let you know, go to Google Reviews, find out more about Choice Mortgage, go Choice Mortgage Reviews, find out what people are saying about him on the Google Reviews, on the web, that he does a lot of good things. He has been for 33 years now, works 7 days a week. He really has no life, but he's always working, man. Even on the weekends, he's getting it done for you. You find a place you really like, you want to buy. Hey, Mike's right there. Mike Okotsie's working for you. 561-441-2730. Call or text him. 561-441-2730. That's Mike Okotsie, a Choice Mortgage. 33 years of experience right here in South Florida. MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. All right. Welcome back. Good morning, everybody. Week one done in the National Football League. By the way, we haven't talked much about this. Cam Ward, the quarterback for the University of Miami. I saw the odds yesterday. It's just odds. It means still early, right? Everything's too early. Playoff picture, Heisman, all that stuff, way, way too early. But I saw he had the second best odds to win the Heisman Trophy. That's a hell of a start, right? He just got to do one thing. And I'm being, I know you want to get touchdowns and stuff. There's no reason for you to take off and run and go over the top and get flipped in midair and score a touchdown when you're up 40 points. I'd rather not see that. I got to tell you, he gets hurt on that. And Mario's getting hammered, right? I mean, I get, well, he's a competitive guy. We can't worry about that. It's kind of, you know, all the teams that have one of those guys.
What are your thoughts on these games? Talking about this for a little bit here, some of these guys like playing FAMU. I mean, I know that they get a bunch of money from it, and I know that it's good for their program, but seeing guys that are just that outmatched, getting their brains beat in, like, I mean,
if you're not a D1 program, I don't think you should play them.
Oh, I know they're Division I, but, like,
I don't want to play this. I don't want to play the Bethune-Cookmans of the world, no.
Yeah.
I don't.
I just don't understand these games, man. Like, I get Ball State's like an actual, like, you know, they play in the Sun Belt, so fine.
But I got to tell you, you play one of those top programs like that North Dakota State program.
Yeah. Well,
and you happen to have a team that's
found out there.
Northern Illinois took care of Notre Dame. By the way, that's by far the biggest upset and worst loss of the season. That's by itself.
But those conferences also, I mean, there's not that much of a talent disparity, but when you talk about like a FAMU or Bethune,
one of these teams,
it's like.
So these guys in the NIL got to play somewhere, right? They got to play in some program where they can just sit in there and go, well, I didn't get to go to one of the top programs. Mom and Dad said I'd get in one of them.
No issue. I mean, guys play where they want to play, but I just, the issue I have is with, you know, when you go into a game like that, first of all, Miami's got, I mean, nothing good can come out of that game. I know you get reps and you get some of the younger guys some action.
Well,
and all that.
That's important, though.
I know.
There is, but. There is.
God forbid someone gets hurt in a game like that. It's
so
just, I don't know.
So in a perfect world, why those games, it is weird that they basically play their preseason games after Florida and that. And I don't disagree.
You want to do it in the first game of the season, maybe.
But it is good to get those young guys, man. I'm thinking about guys staying and getting some playing time. And
I don't know. Aren't the practices on Green Tree tougher than
guys want to play in games, Woody? I mean, they don't want to go on the scout team every week and go, hey, you really helped us get ready. Like, great. I've been on that scout team. It sucks. There's nothing good. When they're out cheering and they win a game, they don't go, hey, by the way, want to thank the scout team. Great look last week. They want to play in the game. They don't want to get what would have been a sack in practice. They want an actual sack in the game or an interception. And a lot of those young guys had interceptions and sacks and carries and touchdowns. So for those 6, 7, 8 guys that were in there, I think it's pretty important. I don't want to lose them. This is about Mario came on and said this, like, hey, mm-hmm. I told my coaching staff, we got to start getting all these guys in. We want to get them some playing time. We got to develop them. We may need them this year. That's our goal. If somebody goes down, we want to have those young guys. One of them just had his 19th birthday, running back. You want those guys to be ready to go. So I know it does nothing for the guy viewing. Woody, and I'm not taking a shot at you because you're like, I just don't want to play those games. Give me somebody else. But, man, I just think for the development of your program, you spend all that money and time you want to save. You're not going to be able to keep them all, right? There will be 3 or 4 or 5 guys, and they'll slowly leave as they don't play. Oh, I'm not playing in spring football. Nope. Too much competition, I'm out. That's going to happen. They're going to lose guys from these 2 recruiting classes. By the way, the 2 really, really good recruiting classes. Guys are going to leave. They're not all going to stay around. But if there's somebody you think you're really going to like, you got to get them some playing time. You have to.
I don't know if that's going to be the difference in someone's mind. Like, But I got to play against, you know, the second half against FAMU, and there was a 50-point blowout. I don't know. I also, like, my other the other end of it, I just don't love. Like, I don't love watching those kids just get smashed.
Well, everybody's doing one.
They don't work. They just, they everybody's, don't recruit the same guys over
everybody's
there.
Writing a check. Everybody's writing somebody a check.
I know, but the kids aren't getting it. It's going to the school. These kids are getting the...
School's
just,
going...
This is not evenly matched, man. Like, it's not like, it's almost like it's not fair.
FAMU, now you've heard these small programs, Woody.
I know.
These small programs have said we need that money.
I know. I know they need the money.
All right, so.
So, like, I get that
Notre Dame. Notre Dame paid $1.4 million to lose.
But throwing the kids out there to just get smashed is.
I think those guys like playing in those games.
Someone said FAMU is better than Ball State. Not sure what you're talking about. Okay.
Are they? I don't know.
I mean, I would imagine
somebody
not,
follows football, maybe that's
Ball State's in the Sun Belt, I believe.
I don't
or
know.
Or one of those conferences. I wouldn't.
I'd ask you this one. Why don't we just play FIU and FAU?
You want to play the Florida schools? I know.
Yeah.
Because, well, problem is you could lose to those schools. Which they may find out that South Florida is not as easy as.
What? How many years ago is that? Did FIU beat Miami at the? Or that was at the Orange Bowl, wasn't it?
No, it was at Marlins Park.
Marlins Park. No, I knew.
I don't know. A few years ago, it was before Mario. That was Manny.
No, was way back. No, I think that was.
I don't think it was.
No?
That far back. I think that was Manny, maybe.
Boy.
Hey, man, you know, like, I mean, Florida's got UCF on the schedule. They very well may lose that game.
UCF's good.
Yeah.
I know you love to give them a hard time.
I know you watched USF play the other day. You know they're not a pushover.
USF got – they've got Alabama. They got them turn the ball over. They run for 200 yards. If somebody would have told me South Florida was going to run the football for over 200 yards against Alabama's front seven – what is that, a 3-4-5-6 point game with like 6 minutes left? And then
6 minutes left, they could have tied it, but the gutless coach kicked the field goal.
Alabama ends up after that, goes on to score a whole bunch of touchdowns.
They're in the MAC, really, by the upside. Way. The Ball State is in the MAC. Okay.
What I said, so, what the spread? What I see the spread is?
30-something. 30.
Oh, it is? All right.
It's less than it was against FAMU. I think it was 48.
Don't worry. Hey, everybody.
36.5.
Don't worry. There's a lot more coming that are going to get really interesting to see how they go. By the way, you thought Georgia Tech was a world beater? They lose to Syracuse. Woody, I thought Georgia Tech, you know, oh, man, Georgia Tech, they lost to Syracuse after beating FSU. You never know, man, you never know. I do know this, 8 o'clock hour's coming up. Eric Wood, Bills radio analyst, going to join us in just a few minutes, so we'll talk to him. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.